Well, good morning once again. It is certainly good to see everyone here this morning. We do have a few number of visitors in our audience, and we're certainly glad that they are here. We delve into a question that have been brought our way. Are the Jews still God's chosen people? Will the Jews have any special treatment at the end? And if not, if they are not accepting Christ, are they lost? These questions have caused many problems for Christians today. So many so-called preachers who teach that Israel is where Christ will return. They also teach that the people of Israel need to have land in Israel to return to for when He does return. People believe that the Israelites of today still have the same promises of those of old. But if this is the truth, what does that make Christ? To feel that Israel today is the same as Israel of yesteryears is to deny that Christ fulfilled the Scriptures. Of course, we as Christians must know how to answer these issues. Whether you have run into this or not, you will. I have heard many people talk about what is going on in Israel today and how we need to save Israel in order to save Christianity. Brethren, as we answer these questions posted to us today, I want you to consider a question of my own. If Israel is still the chosen people of God today, what does that make us? Let us begin. Who is Israel today? We're going to just dive right into our lesson this morning by asking the question, what is Israel? Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from where your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Just stop there. Here we see Abram, from the Lord, receiving what is called the three promises. And the first thing he tells him is, go to the land that I will show you. Turn a few pages in your Bible to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read a various of scriptures. They're on the board, and I will tell you it so you can follow along. In Genesis 15, read verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Scroll down to verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, speaking of the Lord to Abram, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now scroll all the way down to verse 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, listen carefully, I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Here, in chapter 15, we see the three promises explained. And what we see in the middle is, to your descendants, I have given this land. The question that I have for you this morning is, who is the seed of Abraham? Who are the descendants of Abraham? It's not a trick question. Abram had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob, we know, is Israel. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 21. In Joshua chapter 21, scroll down to verse 43. Joshua 21, starting in verse 43. Listen very carefully. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. What do you see in Joshua? We see this. So the Lord gave Israel all the land. He gave them rest. And the most important part of that is not a word failed of which the Lord had given them or promised to them. It all came to pass. What is Israel? Israel is the land, the promised land. But the real question for us today, is the land of Israel still the promised land? Turn if you would to Joshua chapter 23. In Joshua 23, scroll down to verse 11. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you and make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be a snare and traps to you and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now scroll down to verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which He has given you. What do we see in Joshua? The first thing we see is take heed, children of Israel, or else you will slide backwards. You'll go back. So take heed. He goes on to further say at the end as we close in 16, when you transgress, the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and then you will perish from the land He's giving you. So what does Bible history tell us? Bible history tells us that Israel did just that. They violated the Lord's commands time and time and time again. And so the Lord removed them from the land. And it no longer was their land. What does world history tell us? World history tells us that Israel as a nation actually ceased to be. And it wasn't until the United States in 1948, together with agreements from other Arab nations, helped the Jews after World War II return to Israel, and Israel was established as a state again. Israel the nation is no longer the promised land. They lost that in the book of Joshua, and following all up to the book of Malachi. When they turned their back on God, and God removed them from the land, it no longer was their land. It's no longer the promised land. That's what God told them. It's yours until you disobey me. Well, if that's what Israel is, who is Israel? Israel, of course, starts with Jacob. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Verses 22 through 32. It's a lengthy reading, but we need to read it to understand. Genesis 32 and verse 22 and following. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, speaking of Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Israel is Jacob. Is Jacob Israel even today? Yes. When I refer to Jacob, I can refer to him as Israel. And I don't have any problems in doing so. That's his name. If I refer to him as Israel, could I not refer to him as Jacob? Yes. That's his name. That's who Israel is. Now, Israel also has a more plural context. The children of Israel. We saw that in Genesis 32:32 we just read. The children of Israel. But turn to 2 Kings 16 and verse 6. 2 Kings 16 and verse 6. It says very plainly, at that time, Rezin, king of Syria, captured Elath for Syria and drove the men of Judah from Elath. Then the Edomites went to Elath and dwell there to this day. Now, why did I point this out? Well, it says in 2 Kings 16, verse 6, the men of Judah. But if you read from the King James Version or the American Standard Version, it says, at that time, Rezin, king of Syria, drove the Jews away. So the children of Israel, we also know, are called the Jews. And there's a plurality of them. So the question for us this morning is very simple. Are the Jews still the children of Israel? Still the children of Jacob today? Yes. As long as if you were a Jew and you could trace your lineage all the way back to Isaac or Jacob or Abram, then you are a child of Israel. Okay? That answer is yes. But the question we're trying to answer is this. Who is Israel? Israel is a nation of people. Israel is the Jews. Israel is Jacob. But are the people of Israel, are the children of Israel, are the Jews still God's chosen people? That's a different question. It's one thing to say that Jews are still the children of Israel, because that is truth. It's another to say they're still God's chosen people. That's the question we want to answer. Turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 24. Listen carefully to what it says. For you have made your people, Israel, that would be the children of Israel, that would be the Jews, for you have made your people, Israel, your very own people, forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. Did you see what it said? For you have made your people, Israel, your people, forever. The question is forever, forever with God? Well, before we answer that, let's look at a few things. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. What did we see? Well, the first thing we saw is it says the days are coming, or the day is coming, where two things are going to happen. The first is there will be a new covenant established. And the second is like the first. It is not according to the old one. There's a new covenant coming. It's not like the old one. It's not like the one I made with them when I brought them out of Egypt. It's not like the one when I made this statement, that they're my people forever. It's not like that covenant. Now, just because he did this does not negate this statement. But let's continue to look forward as we try to answer that question. Is forever, forever with God? Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 42. We see that there's a grander scheme, if you will, in the statement we find in 2 Samuel, and also in the statement in Jeremiah 31, and we see that in Isaiah 42. In Isaiah 42, it says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." Listen carefully. "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." The new covenant with an old promise. The new covenant was to include the Gentiles. Under the old promise that you will be my people forever. And what you see when you read Isaiah 42, 1 through 6, you understand how God was going to establish this promise. It is through His Son. Let's look at some other things. Are the people of Israel still God's chosen people? We'll turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Verses 42 through 44. After giving the parable of the wicked vine dressers and how they destroyed and killed all those that were sent, even the own son, in verse 41, they answered to him, he, speaking of the master of this vineyard, "will destroy those wicked men miserably." Now listen so carefully to how Jesus responds to them. Jesus said to them, starting in verse 42, "Have you never read the Scriptures?" What an interesting question. "The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him into powder," or to powder. Now listen very carefully. I don't have 45 up here, but listen. "Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them." Israel forsook God. Israel turned their back on Him. He did not abandon them. See, I've heard that many times of all this war and things that are going on in Israel, that God has abandoned Israel. He did not. Number one, Israel's not Israel anymore as the state. It's not the promised land. And number two, they turned their back on Him. And that is what His Son just taught. "You killed prophets before me. You killed priests before me. You killed anyone who came to you and told you you should do the right thing before me, and now you will even kill me." Israel forsook God. But He still kept His promise. Listen carefully. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 13, verse 5. We'll look at four quick scriptures. So turn with me, because this will make the whole point when we see them all together. Listen to the promise God gave Israel. In 13:5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For He Himself has said in the past, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So let's establish that truth. He never forsakes you. Okay, that is a truth. Turn now to Isaiah 59. All the way back in the Old Testament. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite passages. Turn there, I want you to read it with me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Listen, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. Do you see what it said? Hebrews 13 and 5. He never forsakes you. Your iniquities separate you from Him. That's different. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8. We talked about this in our readings and in our questions. It was one of our questions, or the answer to our questions. It's actually the bonus question. I pointed to something that's going to happen in the future from 1 Samuel 8. And we're going to point to both of them today because I want you to see it. And the Lord said to Samuel, after they said, "Give us a king to judge us." The Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since that day, the day that I brought them up out of Egypt," God says, "even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also." Israel rejects God. Now follow that up in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, 22 through 23. Jesus is on trial, if you will, with Pilate, just to kind of give you a context as you're turning. And Pilate keeps going into Jesus, if you read all the Gospels together, and can't find anything. He continues to go out to the people and talk to them and say, "I can't find anything." Now listen so carefully, because this will tell you what you need to hear. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let Him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has He done?" But they cried out all the more, "Let Him be crucified." Israel rejects Christ. Acts 13. Acts 13, 44 through 46. We pick up with Paul and Barnabas. They've gone from city to city. They teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They come to a city. They speak. They're asked the next day if they would speak the same thing. So it says on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They were contradicting and blaspheming the things that they said the week before. So they opposed the things spoken by Paul in verse 45. Listen so carefully to verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first." Why was it necessary? Go back to the promise God made them. "You will be my people forever." It was necessary that they should be taught Christ first. "But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of being God's people forever," which is everlasting life as He puts it in that verse, "behold, we turn to the Gentiles." When Israel rejected Christ, they turned to the Gentiles. Remember Jesus? When He said, "I'm going to a place that you will not find me." Remember what they thought? Is He saying that He's going to go to the Gentiles because we're not listening to Him? And that's not what He meant. But even they knew it. They knew if they rejected Him, He would go to the Gentiles. When they rejected to be God's people forever and ever, it did not break the promise God made to them. They broke the promise. All they had to do is obey His Son. That's what all the Scriptures foretold. So the question is who are we? If the children of Israel today aren't God's chosen people, what does that make us? Turn up, you would, to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 will give us our answer. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For the Lord loves, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. Read verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Who are we? We are the children of God today. That is who we are. We are the children of God. The Israelites were the chosen people of God of old. There is no denying that fact. He called them out of Egypt. He led them by the hand. You go read the 12 prophets. It gives that beautiful scene of a father and a son. How He helped them walk when they were just learning how. How He loved them and had pity on them every time they turned their back and backslide. They were the chosen people of God. But then came the new covenant. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 states, verse 16 through 22. For where there is a testament, there also must be the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then, likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. They were the children, the chosen children of God, until the new covenant was established. And they would still be the children of God if they would have done what the new covenant told them to do. But they rejected it. By rejecting Christ. Therefore, they rejected being God's people forever. He didn't lie to them. They said, "We don't want it." Today, Christians are the chosen people of God. We are spiritual Israel. Turn, if you would, to Acts 3. Look at verse 25. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, listen, he's speaking to Jews, there's no doubt, but listen to what he says. And in your seed, Abraham, which is what? Isaac, and then Jacob, which is Israel, go all the way down, which is David, go all the way down, which is Christ. And in your seed, Christ, all the families of the earth, including the Gentiles, shall be blessed. Do you see that? We're spiritual Israel because we received the same blessing they received that they were promised 4,000 years ago because of Christ. Remember what Jesus said? He looked at them and said, "Don't say to me that you have Abraham as your father. God out of these rocks could raise up children to Abraham. We're not even rocks. And we are children of Abraham. We are children of that promise." That promise was given to Abraham, but it was given for the whole world. We're the children of Israel today, spiritually speaking. We are the promised children of God. Are the Jews still God's chosen people today? This is our questions. No. You can call them the children of Israel all you want. They are that. But they're not the chosen people of God. Will the Jews have any special treatment at the end? Meaning judgment? No. And if they're not accepting Christ, are they lost? Yes. That was the new covenant. I will establish a new covenant. Not like the old one, a new one. Completely different. That covenant was His Son. And if they wanted the promise, you have established your people forever, they had to go into the new covenant. And what did they say? Let Him be crucified. They rejected it. The door was there. Peter, Paul, Barnabas, the apostles all taught the gospel needed to be preached to you first. Why? Because it was for them. So that they could turn a new leaf and be with the Gentiles and be one people forever. And they rejected it. They are no longer God's chosen people anymore. Israel is no longer the promised land anymore. We are God's chosen people. You know how I know that? Because the Bible defines the church as something that was predestined and pre-chosen before time began. Paul talks about that in all of his letters. About how God chose you before the world. The church is spiritual Israel. We are the chosen people of God. The lesson is yours this morning. It did not necessarily cover the first principles, but I will cover them now as we give the invitation, the Lord's invitation. The Bible is very clear that if you are not a Christian, you will not get to enter into heaven and stay. But to become a Christian, one must hear the Word of God, must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, must be able to make that confession, must be able to repent of their sins, to turn away and walk in a new direction, and must be baptized. The Bible goes on to say that you must remain faithful unto death. That is where the majority of these people in this room are. And now I turn to you. As a Christian, are you remain faithful to death? Or do you have sin in your life? The Bible is also very clear on that. If you have sin in your life, sin separates you from God. And you must take care of that sin before it is everlastingly too late. In order to do that, you must repent of that sin. And He is faithful and just to remove all spot and all blemish from you and make you stand once again on solid ground with God in a righteous state. Do you need something this morning? If you do, would you please come as we stand and we sing?